The story behind the song. Stirring times in the Kingdom of France. Louis XVI has declared war upon Austria, and the fate of France hangs in the balance. Stationed in Strasbourg with the rank of Captain of Engineers is 32-year-old Roger de Lille, who has made the flattering acquaintance of the mayor of the border city. It is evening of the 24th of April in that memorable year, 1792. The mayor and de Lille, as his guest, are seated in the mayor's library.
Now, Captain de Lille, have you any idea of my reason for inviting you to my home this evening? Other than enjoying your affable company, of course.
None whatever. Although I will confess I was highly elated and complimented at the invitation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. As you know, Captain, France is in dire need of volunteers.
I know.
And as you know, too, we of Strasbourg are hoping beyond hope to give to France 600 volunteer soldiers tomorrow.
Yes, monsieur. I'm aware of that also.
You yourself are a soldier of France. Yet I see in you a far greater service than you can possibly give in your command.
I? But how?
I have heard, Captain, that you are somewhat of a poet.
Oh, but I...
Now, do not deny it. I have it from reliable sources. I am asking you to bring that gift to play. I want you to write a song.
A song?
A song so martial, so stirring, so vital, that every young man in Strasbourg cannot help but see his duty and enlist. A song so full of the message of virile service that our city will ring with the cry of liberty or death.
Liberty or death? I understand, monsieur. I will do it.
I thank you, Captain de Lille. And France will thank you. Ah, the liqueur. To the song, Captain. The song of tomorrow.
To the song.
Look at them, Captain de Lille. 900 young men. Your song did it, Captain. It was that stirring anthem which brought them to the colors of France.
I hope so, monsieur.
Hope so? I know so. And France will know it, too. France can never forget you.
Less than 2 months after de Lille's hymn to Liberty or Death had been penned, on June 20, a howling, jeering mob milled around the Tuileries, palace of King Louis XVI. This was the beginning. Thus was born the bloody reign of terror, in which a look of doubt or fear in the eyes of any man or woman spelled death. Having returned to Paris from the campaign on the Rhine, Roger de Lille waits in his quarters for a visit from his friend Jacques Bourseau, listening to the roll of the drums announcing each succeeding guillotine victim.
Jacques, what news?
Fearful news, Roger.
Well?
Our names are on the list.
No.
I saw them. On the list of suspected royalists, I read Roger de Lille and Jacques Bourseau.
So, we're royalists. We cannot be Frenchmen. We must be royalists or fiends.
Roger, take care.
Listen to them. Another poor beggar dies. The streets of Paris are flooded with blood. The blood of your friends and mine, Jacques. And we are helpless. We can do nothing.
It will be worse tomorrow.
Why? What do you mean?
I have heard that the tribunal has imported a mob of hoodlums from Marseille. Sailors and wharf rats. And their women. And that they have just entered Paris. They are 100 times more bloodthirsty and ruthless than any we have yet seen. They sing as they march. They sing as they plunder. They sing as they kill.
Listen.
They... What? That song. That's it. That's the wretched song they sing. Roger, stop it. You'll give us away. Why are you laughing?
That song, Jacques. I wrote it.
What? You're crazy.
I wrote it, I tell you. But a few months ago in Strasbourg, as a fighting hymn for France.
Roger, is that the truth?
Yes. And now my poor song becomes the dirge for my own death.
No.
No, by heaven, it shan't be. Jacques, we're leaving.
But even if we can escape Paris, where can we go?
Where? To Switzerland.
For almost 2 years, Delisle and Bourceau, with other royalist refugees from France, lived in security in Switzerland. Then... a new organization sprang into existence in Brittany, the Chouans, as reckless, as ruthless, as doggedly determined as the revolutionists. Brigands, remnants of French nobility, cutthroats, all were included in the motley horde which composed the Chouans, dedicated to a guerrilla warfare against the ever-increasing power of the Republic. Seeing in this loosely organized mob the last hope of a waning cause, Delisle and Bourceau joined them. Finally, in the summer of 1795, the two forces met en masse at Quiberon.
Bonadou says that we are soon to charge, Roger.
I know.
If either of us does not return...
Oh, don't even think of such a thing.
But if either of us does not come back, Roger, my hand...
Very well, Jacques. My hand to you, my friend.
Roger, are you still there?
Yes, Jacques. Are you all? Jacques, my friend.
Sorely wounded, as he turned to attend his slain companion, Roger Delisle was carried from the field and placed in a makeshift hospital behind the lines. There he lay for weeks, in mortal and mental anguish, hovering in that dim borderland between life and death. Subsequently discharged as cured, he spent the ensuing months wandering from village to village, from farm to farm, seeking shelter from the onward march of terror which he had so innocently helped to incite. The years passed on in an array of thrilling and epic-making spectacles for France. The murder of Marat, the fall of Danton, the execution of Robespierre, the rise of the consulate. Then the empire, the ill-starred empire of Napoleon Bonaparte. In quick succession, the splendor of Versailles, the error of Moscow, Elba, the Hundred Days, Waterloo, and Saint Helena. Then with the return of the last of the Bourbon kings, Louis-Philippe. And what of Roger Delisle all this time? It is the year 1830. A uniformed emissary of the court of France pauses before a miserable hut on the outskirts of Paris. He raises his eyebrows in surprise, glances once more at the address on the envelope he is carrying, shrugs, then knocks at the crude door.
Yes?
Are you, Monsieur Roger Delisle?
Yes, I am.
I have a message for you.
Oh, who could be sending me a message? Please come in.
Thank you.
This message is from His Majesty Louis-Philippe, King of France.
From the king?
You are the author of the song known as La Marseillaise, are you not?
Yes. But when I wrote it, I called it the War Song of the Army of the Rhine. They called it La Marseillaise after those ruffians from Marseille during the Revolution.
I know. Monsieur Delisle, this letter I bear informs you of a pension.
A pension?
For the remainder of your life, as a slight recognition of your great service to France as the author of her national anthem.
A pension? After all these years? Isn't it strange? Do you know what the mayor of Strasbourg said to me after I had written that song?
No, monsieur.
He said, France can never forget you.
Sons of freedom, way to glory, a heart with myriads bid you rise. Your children, wives, and grandsires hoary, behold their tears and hear their cries. Behold their tears and hear their cries. Shall hateful tyrants mischief breeding, with hiring hosts of